When I'm growing old and feeble. Hey, I'm singing my song here this morning. I like the line, when my friends misunderstand. A sermon for another day, perhaps. Thank you to Diana. Apologies to Paya on the scripture changes. I started in one direction on Monday, and the Spirit took me in another, and I did not get that communicated well to Paya, so you've got it all done for next week, my friend. You're all set to go there. So thank you for all listening. And did you notice there was a lot of scripture there? Boy, I put Diana to work, didn't I? Wanted to get my money's worth out of her. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everybody that's done that thing that is fathering, whether you're male, female, whether you're biological father or adopted father or father that just does that work of fathering. Happy Father's Day. I'm adopted. At age five, the man named Carl Freitag adopted me. Freitag, a good German name. If you know the days of the week, how many of you know the days of the week in German? Montag, Donnerstag, Mittwoch, Donnerstag, Freitag. Okay. Did I do all right, Marianne? She's nodding her head, okay. Freitag, Friday. And I did not know he wasn't my biological father until I was about 12, and it made no difference. This man is a saint that raised me. I could not have asked for or had any possible person to be a better leader, model, saint. Just a little aside about him, after he was drafted, after World War II, the Korean conflict was ongoing, and they drafted a bunch of people, and he got caught in that draft and ended up spending the entire tour in Japan. And you have to put yourself back into that day and age. This is right after World War II. The Japanese had been interred. They'd been imprisoned, literally, in the United States. People born in the United States of Japanese ancestry had been imprisoned. There was tension. There was animosity. The division between the nations of the United States and Japan was very high. But my father returned to the United States with his partner to do some mining. He went he was mining uranium. His partner's name was Tak Matsumoto, Japanese. Best friends, and it was just a sign, if you will, or a demonstration of my father's care and love of others. At any rate, I won't brag on my dad much longer. He fathered me in amazing ways, and I am forever grateful. But it reminds me of an interesting thing. Those of us that are fathers and contemplate who we're fathers to, I hope we always remember these are not our children. These are God's children. We are caretakers. We are mentors. We are helpers and assistants and lovers and supports in so many ways, but these are God's children, precious gifts. All children are precious gifts, and they are God's, and we are merely those blessed with the opportunity to be in their lives. Now, Diana, you read it, Elisha. I'm used to pronouncing it Elijah and Elisha, but we'll see where we get. So you want to make sure you have the two straight in your mind. Elijah, E-L-I-J-A-H. One of the great prophets of the Old Testament. Moses is out there. King David. These are the great heroes. Jacob. These are the heroes of the Hebrew people. So Elijah is that great, wonderful person. And Elisha, E-L-I-S-H-A, Elisha, as Diane pronounced. I'm going to stick with Elisha. Okay, but make sure that you hear the difference between the J and the J and the Sh. Never mind. Okay. Elisha was not Elijah's biological child. Elijah was a great prophet, and Elisha was one of the prophets that followed and that toured with him. Apparently, when you were a prophet, you had a group of vice prophets or assistant prophets that travel around with you. And so Elisha was probably the most prominent of those and dearly loved Elisha. And he is traveling with him, and at some point, Elijah is going to pass. We don't know really how all that comes to be, or how they know that this is about to occur. But as is traditional, there is an inheritance that occurs between father and children. You remember Jacob and Esau. Esau steals Jacob's birthright. The birthright was when the eldest son receives all of the wonderful things from the father, the blessing, the position, the status, power over the assembled funds, the lands, the whatever you had. So there's a sense here now that Elijah is going to bless the firstborn son, but Elisha is not his son. But he turns to him, he says, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you. What wish do you want from me? I'm the great prophet Elijah. How can I bless you before I depart this world?" There's an ad on TV. It shows a genie. It's kind of fun because he's got his smartphone and he's playing some sort of game or what have you. He says, "People don't need me anymore. They got the lottery." Have you seen that commercial? They play it. Maybe I'm just watching a different channel than all of you, but at any rate, there's that sense of if you had a genie that popped out and said you get three wishes, what would you wish for? Now, when I was a kid and I thought about that, what I would wish for were pretty material things, to be honest with you. But over time, those have changed, and over time, those have become a lot different sorts of wishes. I wouldn't wish for money. I would wish for health. But of all, I would wish for the happiness and fulfillment for my children. So that's a little bit of a side, but here is Elijah turning to Elisha and asking, "How can I bless you?" And Elisha, God bless his heart, says, "I would like a double blessing of your spirit." What a tribute to this person that is a mentor, that is a father figure to him. And it's a wonderful bit that he's about asking, just to be as much of a God-fearing person as Elijah has been. Now, there's a bit in there, and Elijah says, "Well, I will give that to you if you happen to see me when I depart." I don't know what that's about. Why would you have to witness the exact time event? What is that about? There's something here, and I don't know, and I've searched around somewhat to try and figure out why it was important that you see him at that very end instant in order to receive his blessing. Now, theologically, we might say it was that you must follow someone through their entire life and through their passing to truly understand them and have the core of who that person is. Because in passing, in those final moments, perhaps are our most vivid and most honest. I don't know. That's a wild guess on the part of your pastor. And you've seen how well I've been doing today. So just let that be a warning to you. There's another interesting part. All of the other prophets keep walking up to Elisha and saying, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And Elisha says to them, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Now, the scripture that I gave to Diana was much longer than that. And there are several times that they walk up, "Do you know that he's going to be taken today?" And each time Elisha says, I know. Keep silent." And it's a little bit of dark humor there. He doesn't want to admit the reality of the finitude of Elisha, that he's going to be departing. He doesn't want to think about it. And they keep reminding him, "You know, he's gone. This is the day." And yeah, shut up. I don't want to think about it. We all do that, don't we? Think about that. Think about those people that are formative in your life that have been with you forever, and then suddenly they aren't anymore. We don't want to think of the day of that coming, and when it does, it is devastating. But in acknowledging who they are, we can proceed. So then we had the scripture Diana read was about Zechariah. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were getting on in years. That's a polite way of saying, you're getting old. I'm getting on in years. I have to say that and smile because several of you point out that I'm just a pipsqueak. So I honor all of you, and I apologize if I complain about my achy bones. But Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're old. They have no children. They're parentless, or the childless. And that's a theme throughout the Bible. You remember, you can name various people that were childless and suddenly are gifted with children or unexpectedly gifted with children. This is an important way that God reaches to people. But Gabriel comes to them and promises them a child in their old age. I always have to laugh when I think about that. I think you know that Melissa's little sister, Sarah, she and her husband, Joe, had a baby, Ryer, my first grandson. And he's just over one now. But this last year, I just know what they have been through. It would kill me. How many of us could survive a baby again? How many of you are ready to do that? Sleepless nights, baby up, colicky, this, that, carrying on, all the different hours, the wakefulness. And keep it, don't watch out for it. Keep it. Did he get enough? Did he go to the bathroom enough? Where's the diapers? I couldn't do it today if I had to. So here is this blessing to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And I have to laugh a little bit. But it is a blessing. And it's always a blessing because regardless of what happens and comes to us, God will help us through. No matter what those hurdles are, no matter the tasks before us, God is with us. Can I get an amen from that? God is with us. We need to acknowledge that and be a part of it. Amen. Yeah, we're on it. Okay. And they say, Gabriel says to Zechariah, I mean, that's a nice name, Zechariah, but he says, his name's going to be John. How would you get from Zechariah to John? But who knows? God's ways are sometimes puzzling to us. And Zechariah kind of doubts it. He says, we're really going to have a baby in our old age? And he doubts Gabriel. And Gabriel says, I'm going to make you a mute. You will not be able to speak again until the baby is born and named. Speechless. How many women are ready for that with their husbands? Oh, I don't want to know. This is Father's Day. You'll politely say, oh, no. I love it when my other half shares all of the world. So along comes Elisha, inheriting from Elijah. And along comes John, inheriting from God. And it is some of that same spirit that Elisha receives. John will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With power and spirit of Elijah, he will go before and turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Did you hear all the things that John was going to do? Much like what a father does, raising a child, helping people grow closer to God, helping all of those find the important source of life, helping people grow in righteousness, helping people find joy and fulfillment. And he will turn parents' hearts to their children. One of the hardest things that I see in society around me are those who become parents and are not gifted with that innate change of being that comes from being a parent. Until this one right here came along, my daughter came along, I was enjoying life and I was free and easy spirit, married, but still I was just an independent kid having a great time. And all of a sudden when she was born, I was a parent. And life changed for me. And I didn't mind it. It wasn't like this is the rule and now you have to obey it. From somewhere deep within me, I became a parent. And I was ready for that. I hope that has happened with all of you. And I hope that happens with everyone. But I see parents where something has gone wrong and it doesn't seem to have worked. And it breaks my heart. But turning parents' hearts to their children is an amazing part of learning and growing. And growing in happiness, learning what happiness is. My dad, as I said, was born in the 30s, so he lived through the Depression, and his family didn't have a whole lot, and they learned how to live without much. And so growing up, I mean, if you wanted to buy something, you had better have a really good argument for why you had to have it. We owned one new car the entire time I was growing up. Had to. My sister wrecked the other one. Because why buy a new car when the one you got, you can still fix that one up. And Dad had baling wire and duct tape and you name it, we could put just about anything back together. And so learning how possessions was not the fulfillment of life. Learning that there are a lot of other things that are so much more important. People today get caught up in possessions and wealth and fame and beauty and power. Look around. Those seem to be the drawing cards for so many. I see people that are so focused. All they want is a lot of likes for a video that they can put on YouTube. This is the core of what seems to be fulfillment in their lives. I'm a little worried. And there are a number of cases where people are warning you, try not to make a video of yourself standing at a cliff. Too many people have backed up a little bit and backed off the cliffs. So there's this problem with this trying to be about the wrong things, pursuing things that do not bring true happiness. So he will turn the disobedient, this is John, he will turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make people a people prepared for the Lord. Some of us are gradually coming to the age of understanding that being righteous with God is the happiness that we've been seeking. I'm on that journey. I can't say that I'm 100% there. But knowing that God is with me and that God has blessed me and all the ways that although there are hiccups in the life and road, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So here's the son, John, who will parent Christianity and who will take and develop an entire movement. It is his movement that Jesus comes and becomes a part of. And then when John is captured and imprisoned, Jesus takes over that movement. John knows that. It isn't about his glory. It isn't about his fame. It isn't about his power. It is about the one whose sandals he is unworthy to untie. It is about Jesus Christ. He becomes the herald for the Messiah. These have become some of our religious parents. I know there are so many other examples, but hearing and understanding and listening to how God has parented humanity and continues to gift us, this is a great day to pause and to give thanks and to acknowledge fathers and the way that fathers have followed and loved and learned that rule that Jesus teaches us to love one another, all of one another's, and to follow the perfect Father who is Jesus Christ. Amen.